We come then to the first paragraph in chapter 33 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the character of that day of judgment. Paragraph 1 then, I read it again. God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom all power and judgment is given of the Father, in which day not only the apostate angels shall be judged, but likewise all persons that have lived upon earth shall appear before the tribunal of Christ, to give an account of their thoughts, words, and deeds, and to receive according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, there are a number of truths in that paragraph. I have six heads here before me. I broke them down to these 6 points on this first paragraph about this judgment. First of all, it is a divinely appointed future judgment. And then secondly, it is a divine judgment in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the judge. Thirdly, it is a righteous judgment. And fourthly, it is a judgment of angels, of fallen angels, and also of all men. And then fifthly, it is a very solemn, a very intense, and a very thorough judgment, extending even to the thoughts of man. And then sixthly, it is a judgment of just retribution or recompense and reward. So firstly then, it is a divinely appointed future judgment. What does the paragraph say? God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world. Now the divines, they clearly view this judgment as future. They don't say it takes place at death. Now, undoubtedly, there is a judgment at death. There must be some kind of judgment at death for the soul. After death, the Bible says, the judgment. And the soul has to, by that judgment, go to one place or the other, heaven or hell, there to be confined. But that judgment only relates to the soul and to its temporary condition until the final judgment. And the final judgment is future. The judgment after death is private, that individual soul, and it relates to the destruction of the soul, it relates to the destination of the soul while awaiting the resurrection and the final judgment. There must be that private judgment. But this judgment that the divines are talking about is different. It's public and it's future, and it involves all of the human race after they have been raised in their bodies from the dead. So they're talking about that. It's universal. It's not individual. It's universal. It reaches to all men, and it's final. It's the ultimate judgment, and that is future. Now, as I quoted earlier from Acts 17, verse 31, Paul reminded the Gentile world at Athens about this. He, God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And as I said, that was the final word in the sermon that day, the mention of who the judge was, that resurrected man, Jesus Christ. That was just enough for the Athenians, and they didn't want to hear anything more. It was too much for their unbelief. But nevertheless, Paul preached it. He said it's future. He said it is a day that God has appointed. It's divinely appointed. Now, the thing about it is, we don't know the day of judgment. It is hidden from us. The date has not been revealed. In the third paragraph, the divines stress that.
And it has very practical application that God hasn't revealed the date. And they draw that out. And so I quote from that part of paragraph 3, "So will he have that day unknown to men, that they may shake off all carnal security and be always watchful." So they're saying the day is future, it's been appointed by God, but they're also saying God has willfully concealed it. That is, he has hidden from men the date, the time. He hasn't only hid it from men, he's hid it from angels. Not even angels know the date of the great judgment day. Not even Satan himself. Only known to God. He's appointed it. It's in his diary, and he's kept it very tight, in security and secrecy, that matter. What did Jesus say? "Of that day and hour knoweth no man." No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Do you remember how he said, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour." And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "It's not for you," he said to his apostles, "it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power." And one of those things he's put in his own power is the time of the resurrection. "And it's just not for you to know," Jesus said. "You yourselves know perfectly," Paul said, "that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." And Peter says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt up with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." 2 Peter 3, verse 10. So this concealment of the date in the will of God is done for very important reasons. And the Lord Jesus draws on those reasons. You have to watch. And so the divines say it's to shake off carnal security, and you'll be always watchful because we're such people. Well, if you know the date, it's way in the future. You can behave whatever way I like up until then, and near the time then we can sort ourselves out. And so the Lord knows how men think. And so he doesn't reveal the date so that they will shake off that kind of carnal security and be always vigilant and watchful and walking circumspectly and carefully all the time. But because the day is concealed from men and angels, that does not mean it is concealed from him, or that in some way it is uncertain, or that somehow it depends on man. No, it doesn't depend on man, and it's not uncertain. It's in his diary. He has appointed the day. It has always been appointed. It has been ordained, the time of it, while future is fixed and certain. Romans 2, verse 5, "After thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So there is this day, the day of judgment, the day of wrath, the day when God shall judge. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts." So this is identified with the Lord's coming, this making manifest the hearts and the counsels of men, the time when he comes. And so it's appointed. God knows it, though we don't. But while the day itself is concealed as to the precise time, the event is not concealed. The event is revealed, though the time is concealed. You know there is a distinction between the time and the event. Whenever I was in Africa, one of the preachers' people wouldn't come in time, and they said there, "Yeah, we're not so concerned about the time, it's the event." So eventually everybody arrives and they have the event. So there's a distinction between the time and the event. We don't know the time, God does, but we know the event is coming. and the event is revealed. All we can say is it is ordained by God and he knows. And it follows the resurrection of the dead, and it is after the Lord's second coming. That's all that we know about the timing of it. Kind of the order of events, but not the precise day or hour. And so when the divines deal with the last things, they do so chronologically, because they recognize there is a succession, there is the events in certain order. And so chapter 32 is the intermediate state, death, burial, the soul in either heaven or hell, then the resurrection of the last day, and then the final judgment. So they're following it chronologically. They've got the events in the order, in the right order, but the day is not revealed when this takes place. So the resurrection of the dead is an order to something. They recognize that there is something after the resurrection of the dead. They recognize that the resurrection of the dead is not the ultimate. The last judgment is the ultimate. That's the climax. That's the final great event. And so those who are in hell now, the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 32, paragraph 1 says, are reserved there in torments and utter darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So they even mention the judgment of the great day in chapter 32. They're in hell waiting unto the judgment of the great day. And that's the biblical order, and that's right. So it's future, divinely appointed and future. And the resurrection is just the means to bring all men to the judgment day so that they come to the judgment day in their bodies, because their bodies were the vehicles of their sinning. It is therefore very solemn, this judgment day. There are three questions and answers in the larger catechism. They also deal with this theme of the last judgment. And that is question and answers 88 through to 90. And those three questions are simply put, question 88, what shall immediately follow after the resurrection? Immediately after the resurrection shall follow the general and final judgment of angels and men. The day and hour whereof no man knoweth, that all men may watch and pray and be ever ready for the coming of the Lord. Question 89, what shall be done to the wicked at the day of judgment? And then question 90, what shall be done to the righteous at the day of judgment? And I'll not read those answers, they're quite lengthy. You can look them up yourself and read them. But question and answer 88 is relevant to this, what we're saying. There's a certain order. It's after the resurrection, it's immediately after the resurrection, the last judgment, the day and the hour, of course, as the question answer says, no man knows.